from the Heads to Podcast Network, but not from Heads of Studios. Welcome to Motherfucklore, the Quarantine Sessions, a podcast about staying safely apart from each other. I am Dara O'Shea.
I'm Patrick Quivonic.
It's Misha Emer Duffy.
Hey, getting on, Emer. Mind yourself.
I'm good, Derek. How are you?
I'm doing okay. But my children are asleep and my wife is downstairs watching the Real Housewives of some American city.
That's my favorite iteration of that series.
Can you imagine what the Real Housewives of Dublin would be like?
Did they not do something like that?
They tried.
I'm almost certain they tried. I'm almost certain they have
yes,
tried this.
They did. It was a few years ago.
They had Flatley's ex in it, the one who's with the celebrity solicitor.
Oh yeah, Lisa Murphy, who was with Gerald Keane. It was called Dublin Wives, previously Dublin Housewives. And it was broadcast on TV3 and it followed the lives of five housewives living in the city and introduced viewers to their lifestyles, families and homes. Well.
I'm going to pretend that like Patter didn't Google that and he just knew it off by heart anyway because he was a big fan.
Sure, it isn't on Google. You can't get that kind of show on the Google. But yeah, no, I'm sure Patter did just actually know it because Patter knows a lot because he went to Maynooth.
Yeah, that's exactly why I know so much about crappy television.
I mean, look, I can, like, same. I know an awful lot about shite TV and I also went to Maynooth. So, I mean, correlation, causation, I don't know.
Hard to say. But speaking of, I mean, well, that's bad TV, but there is some good TV at the moment. There is a show that you mightn't have heard of. I think it's quite good.
Not all TV.
Not hashtag not all telly. But there's a show that I like. You mightn't have heard of it yet. It's a small Irish production. It's called Normal People.
And I have definitely never heard of this before. Tell me what it's about, Derek.
Well, it's about some young people in a college and they are looking sad and doing right.
Sounds legit.
Nice.
Yeah.
It's a real college experience.
Yeah, I did a lot of looking sad in college.
For various reasons.
Yes, indeed. But it is set in the hallowed cobblestones of Trinity College for the most part. There are some scenes in Italy and in Sweden and in Sligo and all sorts around. And everyone's talking about this. The Kardashians are talking about it. Katy Perry is talking about it. It is really connected. We did mention it a little bit passing in last week's episode. But I thought, you know, this is the biggest Irish transfer of Irish culture to the rest of the world in recent times. And it would be remiss of us not to consider it and what legacy it is in Ireland it is part of, which, and Emer, you've read this book before it became a celebrated television show.
I have read the book, but what I absolutely love about the fact that Normal People has just taken off is the fact that, like, the Kardashians are watching it, mm-hmm. which, like, okay, all well and good, oh my God, the Kardashians are watching it, like, you've got a young lad from Sligo working in Centra sharing a twin room in Dublin and they're talking about like the Debs. Like this is such an alien concept to probably the richest family in the world. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, this is great TV.
I don't know about that now. You got to bear in mind where Kim and Kanye went on their honeymoon. Like awfully. Like I genuinely think they crave the banal middle of the road Irish experience.
I don't know.
Give me Ireland, but don't give me anything special.
I think though there's an.
Do you think Kim's new clothing line is going to involve like the GAA shorts?
Yes, definitely. I think I can see that being. The thing about GAA gear is it's great crossover stuff, and that like La Serena has grown out of her Dublin top, her Dublin jersey, and now Ar can wear it. And just a year or so ago, I believe there was some street fashion photographers in the Harajuku district in Tokyo, where the kids put a lot of attention into their appearance. So it was one of those fashionable cities in the fashion conscious cities in the world, and there was a young fellow wearing chinos with a vintage throwback Ireland jersey from when they were sponsored by Aircom.
Oh, with the Aircom. Yes, I remember that.
Yes, and he was just
unreal.
Very cool looking young fella. And he thought, this is obviously where you go to, you know, mix and match your styles. So, I mean, like, You know, if it looks good, it looks good, you know?
Absolutely.
That I remember that. It was class.
It was a 2002 World Cup kit.
Oh, that's why it would have been in a second-hand shop over there.
Exactly, because they would have been selling shit tons of them in Japan back then. Yeah, that was Ryoki, a 17-year-old
Love
student.
It.
Yeah. White socks, a pair of black leather loafers from Ralph Lauren, and rounded out with a green Umbro soccer jersey.
Tanya.
Yeah. I love that.
You can look just as at home in Fur House as in Harajuku.
Yeah. I didn't forget about the white socks and the Ralph Lauren chinos.
Yeah, it was a few years ago and I've never felt as cheated in my life, right? So it was the Kerry Mayo All-Ireland final. Mm-hmm. And I mean, obviously, look, I was rooting for Mayo. Like, I really want them to win, Sam. But being from Kerry, I only had a Kerry jersey. And it was a Sunday, so I was up in the Big Tree in Drumcondra watching the match because that's what coaches do. And yep. I had just gone to the bar, so I was separated from my friends. And as I was walking back, I spotted like two people in a Kerry jersey, and they were like the only people in Kerry jerseys in the pub. And I was like, oh my God, are you from Kerry? And they were like, yeah, we are. And then I was like, what part are you from? And they were like, and I was like, okay, that's weird. And then I was talking to them a little bit more because obviously when you see someone from your area, you're like, oh my God, I have to know you.
Eventually,
they both stopped and they were like, actually, no, we're not from Tralee at all. We're from Dublin. We just like their cousin or someone works in the O'Neill's factory. So they like borrowed the jerseys.
Classic. Iconic.
I was disgusted.
I have only owned a Dublin jersey once, and I wore it to a match that we lost to Armagh. And then I went and got very drunk in James Gill's around the corner from Croke Park and ended up swapping it for an Armagh jersey with Big John number one on the back. Mm. So for quite a significant period of time, the only GAA jersey I had in my house was Big John's Armagh jersey with the number one on the back. It wasn't even a goalkeeper's jersey. Like, you know, just it was shockingly discontinuous. Like, you know, just it was just an orange Armagh jersey with Big John on the back. I wore the shit out of that jersey.
What second-hand shop? Like, what second-hand shop in what corner of the world can you put that in and then have it appear in some fashion magazine in like 2 years' time?
Here we see Ryoki, who's 17 years of age, wearing an orange O'Neill's jersey that says Big John on the back.
You know, it would be
Big John number one.
If we could get Ryoki on this show, that would be 2020 made for me.
You're kind of setting yourself up to fail there.
No, challenge accepted. Challenge accepted.
Right. Lads, I thought we were supposed to be talking about normal people, not the lad in Japan that wore the Aircom jersey.
Definitely not a normal person. Definitely not. Way too good looking.
So anyway, we're going to have a Skims crossover with O'Neill's in the next 12 months.
Yes. I think it's going to be basically what happened to Hush Puppies in the late 90s. Suddenly this thing that was seen as not very fashionable becomes a hit in secondhand shops and suddenly becomes sensational. And it all just happens where there is a tipping point moment and it gets kicked off now.
I know the last thing you want right now is another digression, but what the fuck was the tipping point moment for Hush Puppies?
Basically, it's the opening introduction of the book, The Tipping Point. Malcolm Gladwell uses the fact that Hush Puppy shoes became back in fashion in Williamsburg because
it's
an ironic fashion
hipsters,
set.
The answer is always hipsters. Okay.
Someone's got to lead these things. But anyway, normal people has touched a lot of registers. Emer, you actually read the book, and Sally Rooney is a hugely popular writer with a very mobilized and engaged fan base. What were your feelings when you're reading the book?
Yes. So I read the book maybe 12 months ago, if not more. Mm. I'm kind of a vintage where I'm still technically kind of sort of fresh out of college.
Mm-hmm.
Like, wouldn't be applying for graduate job roles, but still drinking cheap cans.
Yes.
Like that kind of middle of the road area. And as I was reading it, all I could think of was, this is a book written about the exact people you can't fucking stand on campus.
Mm.
Because you've got the rich young one whose parents have set her up with free accommodation. And then you've got the young fella that plays GA and thinks he's God.
Yeah. And they're friends.
And it just... Yeah, well, I mean, like, look, are they friends? Are they not? It, spoiler alert, like, they're both. and then they're neither.
Do they both go to the same college?
They went to the same secondary school and then they went to the same university.
Yeah, so they go to the same university. I know they went to the same secondary school. I know they're from the same town. But surely the point of going away to college is that you can ride people that are not from the same parish and or potentially gene pool as you.
Oh, but like, come on now. They were absolutely not from the same gene pool. Like, Connell's ma is the soundest woman in the world and would be in no way related to Marianne's family.
His family are pretty chilly. And but so you watched the adaptation now since reading the book. And I think possibly would you agree that maybe some of the acting has maybe some of the execution of the book has actually made those distances clearer?
I think that the book really accurately sums up Irish experiences in both secondary school and university. Like, I don't think there's any other written text out there that kind of accurately depicts both as well as Normal People does. Mm. And then it was really, really well adapted to the TV program. It's not like, you know, the what is it in Harry Potter where, you know, Dumbledore allegedly asks calmly, did Harry put his name in the Goblet of Fire? That kind of running joke for the last fucking 10 years since they released that film. It has been really, really well adapted. And I don't think the TV series lacks anything that the book has. And I don't think it adds anything that the book doesn't have either. I think it's really well done and it's really well cast.
Is Connell really supposed to be that rowdy?
I mean, he probably is. Like, he's a young fella from the West and he plays a lot of GA.
Yeah, but I mean,
wears, like, a gold wears a chain. Do you know?
Paul Mescal.
Always going to have a soft spot for them.
Paul Mescal. He gave you a want.
Paul Mescal is a sound man and also a long-time follower of the Irish Four on Twitter.
That's even more reason to like him.
I probably should not admit this on this podcast, but me and Paul Mescal are the same age. I've lived in the same village that he's from for the past 7 years. We've probably shifted. At some point or another.
If he has ever set foot in Mantra.
That's exactly what I was going to say. You've left her in the dust with her Westmeath man.
Hopefully he has more sense than to set foot in Mantra.
I know.
Look, 2013 was a different time.
It certainly was. So Normal People, you could probably class it, even though parts of it are set back in school and parts of it are set in the hometown and, you know, parts of it are set inexplicably in Centra, you could probably class it as a campus novel.
I'd say you definitely can't qualify.
I read an article the last day about the filming locations and apparently some of the bits that they're fobbing off as Trinity are St. Pat's.
In Maynooth?
No, St. Pat's and Drumcondra.
Oh, St. Pat's and Drumcondra. Not interested.
That's extraordinary because when they were filming Circle of Friends, they passed off some of Trinity as UCD. Like, they were, Circle of Friends is set in UCD, but it was set pre-Belfield. And
UCD was in the National Council Hall.
Yes, basically in the 1960s when Donal O'Malley was minister, as well as bringing in the free secondary education, he wanted to break the sectarian education system, third level education system, and basically turn the UCD and Trinity into a single university with a multi-college university like Oxford, and that the entire city centre of Dublin would be like the city centre of Oxford, just kind of dominated by the colleges.
Full of punts.
Well, but his old enemy, Archbishop McQuaid, was dead against it. dead again. So he just about allowed O'Malley to bring in free secondary education, which he was also dead against, because they liked the idea that this was their gift to bright children, that they would basically, they would deign to give scholarships to bright, poor children who would then owe the church for the rest of their lives.
The Catholic Church.
Yeah, the Catholic Church for the rest of their lives. And also that getting into Trinity, they wanted that to be conditional for poor children, to be conditional from like the bishop allowing you to.
So the last thing they wanted was people getting notions, basically.
Yeah.
John Charles McQuaid would not have liked a young boy like Connell, who was good at the old Gaelic football and did a few shifts down the centre. He would not like him going above his station and going to a place like Trinity College.
Well, here's the thing. He would have been fine with it if he said, you're going to Trinity College, but you're going to stay with my friends, the Cluxtons. And the Cluxtons were in Opus Dei. So he's living there. He is under the watchful eye. And after 4 or 5 years of the degree, he comes out a doctor or a dentist who has a very strong view. Which is aligned with Cardinal McQuaid's view. And this was the pattern for a very long time. And this is one of the reasons why you had people of a certain view entering senior roles in hospital management and the courts.
Because of the Catholic Church controlling their access to education.
Exactly.
How did Joyce get in, considering he was such a cynical bastard?
But he went to UCD. Going to UCD is no biggie because it's a Catholic college. And back in those days, it was much more. I mean, UCD as a college, and during Joyce's time and Flannery O'Brien's time, you probably would have had the problem there is you would have had priests and a lot of faculties, and there would have been a bit more clerical oversight. But the kinds of priests who become philosophy lecturers, they're not the dye in the wool kind of 7-day earth creation types. They like talking about ideas. They're very different from the cardinal and from a lot of the book thumpers, the Bible thumpers, who would have
did you get all that from Joyce's campus novel Portrait of the Artist?
Yes, and this is the thing. And normal people is up until very recently, if you ask someone what the classic Trinity campus novel was, they would say The Ginger Man by J.P. Dunleavy.
Dangerfield took a late morning bus to Dublin, sat up the top side and front, clicking the teeth. Out there at the mud flats and that windy golf course, North Bull Island shimmering in the sun. Cost money to leave Marion. Vulgar blood in her somewhere. Maybe from the mother. Mother's father kept a shop. Bad blood leaks out. I know it leaks out. And I ought to get out. One way on the boat. She doesn't have the nerve for divorce. I know her too well for that. Never gave me a lousy chance to explain the account. Let her rot out there. I don't care. Got to face the facts of this life. The facts. Could square things with her. She's good with the cheese dishes. Few days without food will weaken her. Maybe I'll come back with a tin of peaches and cream. She's always airing the house, opening up the windows at every little fart. Tells me she never farts. At least mine come out with a bang. Fairview Park looks like a wet, mouldy blanket. Feel a little better. O'Keefe broke a toilet bowl in that house. Fell into it when he was trying to sneak a look behind a woman's medicine chest. Long-suffering O'Keefe, bent over tomes in the National Library, studying Irish and dreaming of seduction. Amiens Street Station, Dangerfield stepping down from the bus, crossing and using the Ostrich step up to Talbot Street. My God, I think I see prostitutes with squinting eyes and toothless mouths. Don't relish a trip up an alley with one without wearing impenetrable armour, and there is no armour at all in Dublin. I asked one how much it was, and she said I had an evil mind. Invited her for a drink, and she said the American sailors were rough and beat her up in the backs of taxicabs and told her to take a bath. She said she liked chewing gum, and when she had a few drinks, she got frightfully crude. I was shocked. Asked me how big it was. I almost slapped her in the face. With it. Provocation, I calls it. And told her to confess. Dublin has more than 100 churches. I bought a map and counted them. Must be a nice thing to have faith. But I think a pot of gold label run from the barrel in the house of the aspidistress Settle the nerves. No time to be nervous now. With youth on my side, I'm still a young man in the late 20s, although the Lord knows I've been through some trying times. A lot of people tell you, caution you, now, young man, don't get married without money, without a good job, without a degree. They are right.
It is a book. It is so famous a book. Dorothy Parker says the funniest book she'd ever read, and she's a very funny lady. And then there's even a bar near Trinity named after it. Or is actually the book named after the book, the bar? I thought the bar was named after the book.
Which bar is it?
The Ginger Man.
Oh, the no, that's named after Dunleavy's book.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear it.
Well, Dunleavy's book is older. Yeah.
Yeah, it's from like the 50s, I think, I do believe. And or possibly that, but yeah, but that up until very recently. And it was a well loved book. But it arguably now from now until the next bright young thing comes along, the Trinity campus novel will almost certainly be Normal People.
Mm.
And this makes me think, I asked Twitter a few weeks ago, what are the great campus novels for the different universities? And I think, and one of the reasons it came up, I went to UCD, and while UCD has a number of campus novels, they're all pre-Belfield. Belfield coming in around in the early 70s, I think we're at the 50th anniversary of the Belfield campus this year, even though it happened in drips and drabs. An odd place, but Circle of Friends.
I may lose us a lot of followers for saying this, but Belfield doesn't strike me as the most poetically inspiring of campuses at the best of times.
There's,
I agree with you there.
No,
it's grand. Belfield is grand. It's a perfectly functional campus.
I spent 4 years in Belfield
doing a three-year degree.
Three-year degree and a master's. just in case you thought I repeated.
I repeated. Okay. There's nothing fucking wrong with repeating.
There's nothing wrong. You get to enjoy college life a bit more. So was that not like a student union sabbatical? No, I thought.
No. I did second year twice. The second time I actually remember.
Ah, I see.
Yeah.
I see the old passion fashion extended to a different kind of passion.
Passion for recreational drug use. Possibly.
We can cut that. I was referring to the bell thing.
You were referring to riding. Yeah, I know. Yes. I know.
To doing a normal people on it.
Normal people, which is apparently full of riding.
It is.
Oh, it's so full of riding.
Is there riding in Circle of Friends?
There is.
Is there?
As a matter of fact, and there's even the Circle of Friends, Maeve Benchy, who I had the pleasure of meeting once. She's no longer with us. Amazing woman.
Those two incidents are not related.
Yes, but basically, she wrote this campus novel, and she it was widely said. I think it was widely said during her lifetime that there was two Maeve Benchys. There was Maeve Benchy, the viciously hilarious columnist in the Irish Times, and probably very similar to, it's hard to think of any one person she's like, but she was sharply funny with a great observational wit. And people thought, well, she's like that as a columnist, but her books are, a little bit sappier or sugarier. But it seems that in the past few years, just as certain people have gotten cancelled, other kinder creators are being reassessed as being great. And one of those is Maeve Benchy, along with Fleetwood Mac, is being reevaluated as no longer uncool, but actually quite wonderful. And right before COVID, there was going to be a Gate Theatre production of The Circle of Friends in Dublin City, which unfortunately got COVIDed.
Mm. Have you read the book? Have you read Circle of Friends?
I have not read the book. I've seen the film several times.
The film is gank. The film is absolutely terrible.
I wouldn't go that far.
I haven't read or watched either.
The film has got, not only does it have bad bad Irish accents to bait the band, mm-hmm. but it also it commits terrible crimes to the noble game of rugby. Like, it's just the sports scenes in it are terrible. That's the one with Chris O'Donnell, isn't it?
Yeah, Chris O'Donnell is
playing rugby.
A bad actor. And
I know that's a bit beyond the beyond. Like, he was a good Robin in Batman Forever. I can't even finish that sentence with a straight face. Sorry.
Terrible. He was actually just, he was one of those people, I don't think he would have stood a chance nowadays, and that he was just an awful actor. Everything he did, he just had so little kind of for confidence. And there was never a point where, like, you know, and he just drifted into all these roles and he was completely unable for. And yeah, but a big thing like that, whereas I think that, I think Minnie Driver did very well for herself. Aidan Gillen and Alan Cumming, before they were famous, were in it.
Oh, was famous actor Aidan Gillen in it?
Famous and talented actor Aidan Gillen, before he was, that may have even been before Queer as Folk, actually.
Was he in Queer as Folk as well?
That was his big break.
All right.
Nice.
I thought he just sprung up fully formed around Portobello one time as the most amazing actor in the whole world.
And this is, of course, a reference to the amazingly talented Michael Fry.
So I haven't read Circle of Friends, but I have read the reviews of Circle of Friends on Amazon, which is one of my favorite things to do. And I am, of course, referring to the 1-star reviews. this is just absolutely brilliant. Not my sort of book, too simplistic in style. There you go. There you are. Here's one from Sarah, who gives it 1-star because Amazon sent her book a month late. So thanks a million. I bet Maeve Binchy fucking appreciates that. Unbelievably dated, inconsequential tale of friendships, completely lacking punch or subtlety. All right. There you are.
Ouch.
That's Sally. And that this is my favorite one. My favorite one of them all. 1-star from Doreen in the UK. This is a verified purchase. She bought the book. 1-star, just started reading it.
This is why verified purchases don't mean jive.
Don't leave a fucking review, Doreen, until you're finished.
This is...
But can you? What's the book like? I don't know. I haven't started it, so it's shit.
But it's shite. Yeah.
But you get this stuff, and you see this sometimes in, you know, people like, there's an online book club that I'm in. It's part of a social media network who don't need any free advertising from me, and people will take a photo of a book saying, "I just bought this. Should I read it? Should I bother reading it?" I was like, "Oh, well,
you just bought it.
Were you going to eat it?"
No, I was going to put it on my bookshelf so I'd look clever.
Yes, this
is... Yeah, people will think that I've read it, and then I'll look really smart.
But, like, some people, like, they decorate their bookshelves according to colour, so they just want a couple of books with red spines next to a couple of books with blue spines.
Ooh, that sounds like something
I mean, get a life, like.
Oh, books are great.
I agree. So, Circle of Friends, it hinges on the adventures of a woman from Wicklow, who has to go up to Dublin. She'd like to move up with her friends, but she basically just goes up on the bus and back. Whereas other people in Dublin, they have a different experience at college than she does. And the tension between her new life in university versus her old life at home. This is a recurring theme in the campus novel.
Yes, it is.
Very strong in Normal People as well, actually, now that you mention it.
There you are. Sally Rooney pulling from the greats. Just part of the same literary oeuvre.
So this is that's one of the recurring things. But before Circle of Friends, this is the thing, because there's some people who think that the classic UCD novel Circle of Friends, there's others who think it is either Portrait of the Artist by Mr. Joyce or A Swim, Two Birds by Flannery O'Brien. Both of which
would say that it would be Portrait of the Artist.
Yeah.
Tundish. Well, now, that is interesting. The question you asked me a moment ago seems to me more interesting. What is that beauty which the artist struggles to express from lumps of earth? Said Stephen coldly. The little words seemed to have turned a rapier point on his sensitiveness against this courteous and vigilant foe. He felt with a smart of dejection the man to whom he was speaking was a countryman of Ben Jonson. He thought, the language in which we are speaking is his before it is mine. Had different are the words home, Christ, ale, master, on his lips and on mine. I cannot speak or write these words without unrest of spirit. His language, so familiar and so foreign, will always be for me an acquired speech. I have not made or accepted its words. My voice holds them at bay. My soul frets in the shadow of his language.
I'm going to say it's Portrait of the Artist. I think saying that At Swim Two Birds is a campus novel is kind of unfair, because that presupposes that it's about something.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not. That's the joy of it.
Yes, it's... I think it has a portion, and there's a certain that there is a studentiness to the humor, but to parts of it, but it does not fit the conventional. This feels a lot like the Die Hard Christmas movie argument. You know,
Die Hard is a Christmas movie, though.
This is the thing. Whereas So Then is At Swim Two Birds a campus novel? Does it meet the minimum 35% of presence on the campus? would it be a campus novel if it repeated in the autumn?
Mm. I think we should consider it a campus novel, so I can read out these amazing reviews of At Swim Two Birds.
Because
this is brilliant. From somebody in the UK, verified purchase. I don't know where the author was going with this. I don't often give up on books, but I didn't get past page 26. Wish I hadn't wasted my money. 26 pages, and yet I am still going to give this a review because I know where this is going. This is a beaut. This is an absolute beaut. Another UK reader. This is my first try at reading a Flann O'Brien book. Even though I was ready to persevere if I needed, I found it just too hard work. Give me Roddy Doyle anytime.
Oh, burn.
Oh, yeah. Ouch.
Yeah.
That one's a stinker.
That's a bodying there. Poor Flann. Here's one from Mrs. K. Another UK reader for some reason. One star. What on earth was that about? Oh, two people found this review helpful. That's good. One star.
Did they figure out what it was about?
One star. Avoid this Irish crap. Was tricked into
it by a UK reader.
Yes, no, 100%. Yes, UK reader, hot lips. Was tricked into it by favourable comments. Classic, my arse. And this is my favourite one from Captain Surname, a verified purchase. One star. Why did I bother with this? You know, I don't know.
We don't know because we don't know anything about Captain Surname.
We don't know anything about Captain Surname other than that he leaves cranky reviews of books that he bought.
I mean, I quite like his attitude, like one star, why did I bother with this? Because that could be applicable to anything. Like, anything you do in life, you look at it and you're like, oh, why did I bother with this? Like,
That'd be my review of college, like, you know, one star, why did I bother with this?
I was just going to say, yeah, might put a little gold star now on my my degree there up on the wall.
Yeah, just one, though. Just one.
Just one. Because why did I bother with this?
Description of my uncle. Red-faced, bead-eyed, ball-bellied, fleshy about the shoulders, with long swinging arms, giving ape-like effect to gait, large moustache, holder of Guinness clerkship, the third class. I do, I replied. He put the point of his fork into the interior of his mouth and withdrew it again, chewing in a coarse manner. Quality of rasher in use in household. Inferior, 1 and 2 the pound. Well, faith, he said, I never see you at it. I never see you at your studies at all. I work in my bedroom, I answered. Whether in or out, I always kept the door of my bedroom locked. This made my movements a matter of some secrecy and enabled me to spend an inclement day in bed without disturbing my uncle's assumption that I had gone to the college to attend my studies. A contemplative life has always been suitable to my disposition. I was accustomed to stretch myself for many hours upon my bed, thinking and smoking there. I rarely undressed, and my inexpensive suit was not the better for the use I gave it, but I found that a brisk application with a coarse brush before going out would redeem it somewhat, without quite dispelling the curious bedroom smell which clung to my person and which was frequently the subject of humorous or other comment on the part of my friends and acquaintances. Aren't you very fond of your bedroom now? My uncle continued, Why don't you study in the dining room here, where the ink is, and where there's a good bookcase for your books? Boys but you make a great secret about your studies. My bedroom is quiet, convenient, and I have my books there. I prefer to work in my bedroom, I answered. My bedroom was small and indifferently lighted, but it contained most of the things that I deemed essential for my existence. My bed, a chair which was rarely used, a table and washstand. The washstand had a ledge upon which I had arranged a number of books. Each of them was generally recognised as indispensable to all who aspired to an appreciation of the nature of contemporary literature, and my small collection contained works ranging from those of Mr. Joyce to the widely read books of Mr. A. Huxley, the eminent English writer.
I don't want to be unfair, so we are also going to deal with the one-star reviews of Portrait of the Artist as a Young Man.
Oh, let's hear these.
Yeah.
Let's hear these.
This is from JB in the United States. One star, too tiny, didn't realize it was so small.
That's what she said.
Also very applicable to a lot of things other than this book.
That you experience in college. This is from Diary Keeper, also in the US. Couldn't read, too dry. Okay. That's good.
The best part of it, like, I cracked up reading that book because it's so funny. And like, it's not supposed to be funny, but yeah.
It's good.
Like, it's not written as a comedic novel, but it's fucking gas.
Yeah. There's a lot of funny stuff in there, and there's a lot of dark humor in the passages about going to hell, and then there's observational stuff at school. You know, about do you kiss your mother when you poof at night? And so, like, and if you say you do, you're in trouble. If you say you don't, you're in trouble.
Oh yeah,
so the unwinnableness of kind of the tyranny of banter.
The banter panthers, they will never give you peace. They'll never give you peace. And they've always been around. One star, not a great read. Read it so you know what people are talking about when it is referenced. Otherwise, not a great read. And this is my favorite all-time review on Amazon. Verified purchase from the US. One star, no.
Just no.
Just
also
no.
Also very applicable. To the greater life experience than just this book.
Yeah, I read Portrait of the Artist when I was living in Salzburg because I was just dying to read something in a language that I understood, and went into a bookshop in the middle of the city, and the only English language book they had that wasn't a tour guide to, like, you know, a guidebook to Austria was Portrait of the Artist. So I read it and actually really enjoyed it. Had a ball reading it. It was very, very, very good.
Excellent.
Yeah. So I'm gonna give it 4 stars. Yes.
I mean, I bought it in, where did I buy it? I bought it in Galway. I had the day off and I'd never been to Galway. So I was like, do you know what? Gonna go to Galway on my day off. And didn't even plan what I was gonna do. I was like, I literally Googled things to do in Galway, and at that time of year, most of the Google responses were go to Clare. So instead I went to, because apparently everything happens in Clare. So instead I went into whatever bookshop was there, and I had pizza in the Dobros, and then I went home. But I bought the Portrait of the Artist and I cracked up reading it. I loved it.
Yeah, I think it's really, it's an enjoyable book. Like, I think it's a sort of a, it's easy Joyce. Like, it's not Ulysses, but you could see he was getting to that. So it's digestible. You won't feel like an absolute eejit reading it. Like, you will understand what's going on.
Yeah, and it's
enjoyable for that. Like, yeah. Like, it's not a challenge. Like, it's not an achievement to say you've read Portrait of the Artist as a Young Man. Like, you're not duty bound to tell strangers on the bus that you've read Portrait of the Artist as a Young Man when you've read Portrait of the Artist as a Young Man. It's not like completing Joyce. There's no sense of achievement to it. Like, it's just fun. Just read it.
It's like level one Joyce.
There you are. Level one Joyce.
Level one Joyce is Dubliners. Anyway, Emer mentioned Galway there. That she was going to Galway. And that she was told there's nothing to do but go to Clare. But there is something else you can do in Galway. You can read a campus novel set in a college there. And when you're doing so, you might even pick up a few words, Ask Elga.
Would that be better? Ah, you're talking about Lake Shinnigahu.
Lake Shinnigahu.
So to be fair, Lake Shinnigahu is set in Balia an Chasal, or the English translation, Lead Us Into Temptation, is set in Ballycastle. It's a very thinly veiled version of Galway. It's very obviously, it's like City of Bohan. It's very obviously a major city on the west coast of Ireland. Oh, it's Galway. Like, yeah, grand. It's a novel by Brandon O'Hare. And like the title, Lake Shinnigahu, or Lead Us Into Temptation, is obviously a reference to the Our Father, the Lord's Prayer. It's a really, really good book. It's a really, really good book. Mórtún O'Mallóid is a rake and a rastabout, a pub crawling university student with disreputable friends. And the story takes place over a 4-day binge as Ireland is declaring itself a republic and withdrawing from the Commonwealth. And there's actually lovely little bits of juxtaposition between like the life of the student compared to these big major seismic political events that are happening around him. So yeah, I think it's a really, really good novel. I was supposed to read it for college and kind of just dragged my way through it. Like, it would be fair to say I skimmed it. And yeah, it was the first
you
ever.
You read the first page, the last page, and a page in the middle, and then that was it.
Sort of,
yeah. Just that in college?
Picked out a few key sentences to throw into an essay. Like, that was more or less it.
Because when you read, like, the intro, the conclusion, and just a random page in the middle, you can kind of bluff that you read it.
Yeah. You know what happens at the start. Yeah. You know what happens at the end. You know, something that happens in the middle. Lake Shinnigahu was the first Irish language bestseller in the history of the state, as in to top the brand new hardback bestseller list. It was the first one to be number one among new books.
Number one.
Wow.
Yeah, that's number one best-selling book. And that was before when it was brand new, well before it got onto the syllabus for Irish language courses in college.
This, before we wrap up, I've got to say, I mean, where's the Maynooth novel?
Look, it's on its way. I'm finding it really difficult to get the writing time at the moment, you know?
That's why Derek is only usually the best-selling author on this podcast, like, for now. Like, myself because, and Tyler, we're up and coming. We got the novel on the works.
That's it. We're gonna write a chapter each. It's going to be a real existential trip through the hellscape that is Maynooth on a Monday night. It's all going to be set in... on one night in Mantra in 2013.
Oh. It's going to be called When Emer Met Paul.
Yeah. And the
names changed for legal reasons.
We didn't change the names, Emer.
We changed the names.
Genius.
But Paul Mescal. Like, who's going to know?
Won't know it's about him. Yes. Mm. Brilliant.
Exactly. Because the name has been changed.
Oh, we can get really graphic then. We can get really graphic. We can have you grabbing him by the chain and everything.
What'll happen?
Because the name has allegedly been changed.
He'll read it and say this is really funny because this is obviously set in Maynooth when I was there. This character is obviously based on my friend.
This
Mick.
Is really relatable.
Oh my god! And Emer's gonna get the flashback then. She's gonna realize that she saw Paul, but she actually shifted Mick.
Terrible.
And Mick does not play Ga.
No, he only pretends he plays Ga.
He's always got an injury. Oh, I have an injury. I can't play this season. I've got an injury.
Oh,
his ACL.
Yeah. Oh, nasty.
The internal politics of the selection board.
Yeah, that's his dad got in a fight with someone in 1981, and now he can't play county.
They had a disagreement over a bit of land.
But I also like the internal politics of the selection board being like the gals in the night out.
Oh, I like it.
Okay, yeah. Emer, I know this started slightly in jest, but we are writing this novel.
I mean, now that I've just, like, this could happen.
Yeah.
Like, we might actually manage it.
We are going to be the next Sally Rooney or Maeve Binchy. We're going to be better than that Ham Joyce.
We're going to be the next James Joyce.
We're going to be better than him.
Well, here's the thing.
Probably.
We'll write the fucker in English.
Or Irish, given this is a podcast about words, Irish and Irish words.
We're not going to be the next Brendan O'Hare. He was actually brilliant.
I see. So before we wrap up...
I mean, not with that attitude.
Oh, damn it.
Well, he wrote very, very fine prose. But the Irish Four University, Old Skull, it's like monster school, or because all Fandor is a giant panda. Yeah, and all as a prefix normally means big or monstery, isn't it?
Or super. Or mm-hmm. super. Yeah, it can mean super as well. Like a version of Superman would be Ull-Arr.
Ull-Arr.
Ull-Arr. Yeah, as in far, but Ull-Arr. So Old Skull, it kind of means...
I mean, if you stick like, a father in there, he could also be like Point Man.
Yes, he could. Oh. That's our second novel. Ull-Arr.
Yes.
Yes.
Love it.
Brilliant. And that's where we break into the challenging Irish language market. But Old Skull
Woo-hoo.
Basically means... The mega school.
The mega school. Yeah. It's like totally it's super savage. School.
Yeah. It's Toots McGoat Savage, like.
It certainly is. And you can have some serious horseplay there. But until then.
Absolutely sending it.
I found that old clip recently. I was looking for something else. I found it, and I completely overlooked him. I think he must have been referring to someone on his rugby team who was actually the year below him, because he was talking about that the next year of Rock Boys yeah. need to maintain this tradition, and they won't be able to this year because of COVID.
I know, it's sad, isn't it? No Kosamui Cup 2020
tradition.
Yeah, that's it. You don't do 1 year traditions.
We are sending them our condolences.
Absolutely, send the
absolutely, yeah.
Absolutely, mind yourselves, lads. So anyway, until the next time, we were waiting for a return to some sort of physical normalcy. Obviously, there's things will never be quite at the won't be the normal people we were, but in the meantime, we will await the great Maynooth novel, and until then, it's a slán for me.
It's a slán for me.
It's a slán for me.
Mind yourselves. Hey, gang. What's the crack? Wasn't that a great episode?
We don't know yet.
Yeah, you can tell us. You can say. You can both say.
Wait until they let us know if it was great, Derek.
They will.
Yeah.
I trust our listeners. So I trust our listeners so much so that I'm prepared to let them in and let them know that we and the Motherfuckler team have set up a Patreon. You can find Motherfuckler on Patreon, and the link is in it's going to be in the show notes, and it's going to be on the account. It's what we want to do is we're going to produce a little bit extra content for people who are able to support the continued production of this show.
Yeah, we'll still for our special friends, you get extras.
Our super Derek special friends
is setting up a podcast sweatshop.
Yep. It's true.
I've churning out sweat podcasts to bait the band.
So in addition to bonus content, we are going to, something that has been requested a number of times has been that we produce kind of episode glossaries of Irish words and Hiberno English words we use, things that people mightn't understand how we mean. We're going to be doing that, obviously, with over 127 episodes in the back catalog. It'll take some time, but we're releasing them on the Patreon feed as a growing scale. That'll be something that'll be available to Patreon subscribers. They will also be providing discount codes for certain Irish language related products, such as Ooh. Prints by our amazing artist, Kirsten Shield. So do join us for some of that. We would be delighted to see you there, and we will absolutely make it the best value Patreon subscription on Irish podcasting. It's going to be great.
Woohoo!
Until then, you can contact us at motherfuckerheadstuff.org. We thank Brian for producing us. We thank Kirsten for doing the art. I thank Emer and Pater for joining me today. Thank Headstuff for their support. And mind yourselves. Check in on your family. Stay
well. Wash your fucking hands.
Wash them. Give them a good wash. In between the fingers as well.
Night.
Bye.
Slán.
This has been a production of the Headstuff Podcast Network.
Oh my God, I just realized, you know the way like Kirsten always does like show art that's relevant to like what we've talked about?
I'm going to stop recording now.